Welcome back to the Roundup. Matt Galloway here, and it is time now for the Mystery Project. Today, we'll hear the first half of a play by Tom Stoppard called The Dog It Was That Died. It's set in the 1960s. It's all about spies and treason and double-dealing and obelisks, apparently, as well. Mostly, though, it's an outrageous view of the lunatic fringe that thought they were fighting the Cold War. The title comes from a poem by Oliver Goldsmith about a man and a dog, and it reads: "This dog and man at first were friends, but when a pique began, the dog, to gain some private ends, went mad and bit the man. The wound, it seemed, both sore and sad to every Christian eye. While they swore the dog was mad, they swore the man would die. But soon a wonder came to light that showed the rogues they lied. The man recovered of the bite. The dog it was that died." For our purposes, the character Rupert Purvis is a mole spy, and the character Giles Blair is Rupert's boss. Here now is part one of The Dog It Was That Died, featuring Charles Gray and Dinsdale Landon.
I'd be tickled to death to go running. Dear Blair, I've decided I've had enough of this game, and I'm getting out. But before I take the plunge... Before I take the plunge, I thought I'd give you a tip, which, if you handle it right, could put you in the top spot in the department, assuming that that is what you want. Not that I have any fastidious scruples myself about the chief having an opium den in his house in Eaton Square. Perhaps that is something more of us should be doing. But I dare say the Prime Minister would take a different view. That was the tip, by the way. I wish I had something more on him to give you, but gone are the days when a man could be brought down by being named in the divorce courts, even for sexual misconduct with the wife of a subordinate. And I only mention it now because your good lady, is she called Pamela? I only met her once, may have been pulling the wool over your eyes, and you have always been more than decent to me. So you will have to do what you can with the opium den, and my only regret is that I won't be here to enjoy the brouhaha. Ha, ha, ha. Actually, it's not my only regret, because I was looking forward to taking a belly dancer to Buckingham Palace. If the invitation was anything to do with you, many thanks for the thought. She's a splendid girl, and would have made a bit of a splash. But now it's left to me to do that. Thanks, anyway. There's something of mine which has been in the family for ages, and as I'm the last of the line, you may like to have it. It's supposed to belong to a one-legged sea captain who inspired the character of Long John Silver, and I thought you might find a place for it in your folly. In all honesty, I saw one just like it on a piano in Cork Castle or somewhere, which gives one pause for thought, but I'll send it round anyway. Well, I think that's about all. I hope I won't be bobbing up again, so there shouldn't be any problem about the remains. I've left enough in the kitty for a plaque on the wall of St. Luke's, where I am church warden, and I would be grateful if you could make sure this is done. The vicar bears a grudge against me, but if he starts making trouble, you can take it from me that on the subject of that savoury business, the choir is lying its head off, man and boy, especially Hoskins, third from the end, with the eyelashes. An inquiry would clear my name, but I have no wish to see the diocese dragged through the mud. That is a fate I have reserved for, yours ever, Rupert Purvis. Well, this seems to be about the middle of the bridge. If I can manage the parapet. Oh, I'm too old for this game. Nice breeze on the river, anyway. Quiet as the grave and black as your hat. To hell with a lot of them.
Oh. Oh, dear me. Oh, never mind. It's all over now. Off I go!
Good morning.
On the dot.
I see the tulips are in glorious bloom.
Absolutely. What can I do for you, Hogweb?
I'm sorry? Do we know each other?
I prefer thingamis myself. What's all this about?
I see the tulips are in glorious bloom.
So you said. I prefer hollyhocks myself. Hibiscus. Oh, come on, Hog Ben, I'm Blair. We've met a couple of years ago up in Blackheath, don't you remember?
I'm afraid not.
2 days and nights in the back of a laundry van watching a dead letter drop for a pigeon who never turned up. I'll never forget Blackheath.
I was in Blackheath once.
Of course you were. That was you in the white apron. Brought me chicken in a basket. I mean a laundry basket. So stop fooling about. Gladioli? I'll just sit on this bench and enjoy the view. The view north and east from St. James Park is utterly astonishing, I always think. Domes and cupolas, strange pinnacles and spires, a distant prospect of St. Petersburg, one imagines. Where does it all go to when one is in the middle of it, standing in Trafalgar Square with Englishness on every side? Monumental Albion giving credit where credit is due to some sketchbook of a grand tour, but all as English as a 49 bus.
With or without chips?
As I remember, it was a baked potato in silver foil. And a Kit Kat.
Hydrangeas.
That was it. I prefer hydrangeas myself.
I'm sorry, sir, but...
Perfectly all right. Keen gardener, are you?
Do you run a man called Purvis, Mr. Blair?
Rupert Purvis?
Yes. He tried to kill himself last night. He killed a dog instead.
I see.
Sir?
I said, I see.
Oh. Well, he jumped off Chelsea Bridge at 3:16 this morning, precisely at high tide. A precise man, Mr. Purvis.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, he landed on a barge.
You mean fortunately?
Well, I was looking at it from his point of view.
Of course.
In fact, he landed on a barge dog. The dog broke Purvis's fall. Purvis broke the dog's back. The barge dropped Purvis off downstream at St. Thomas's Hospital.
And that's where he is now?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'll pop along and see him. Thank you, Hogben.
There is something else, sir.
Yes? What kind of dog was it?
I don't know, sir.
Well, it wouldn't be anything special. £50, more than ample, wouldn't you say?
I hadn't really thought, sir.
I'd say 50. If your chief won't wear it, I dare say mine will.
I didn't want to mention this to your chief.
Oh, it's all right for 50. Don't worry. You worry too much, Hobben, if I may say so. I'm grateful to you for taking this trouble, but it would have been quite all right for you to come to the office.
No, sir, I thought it was better to talk outside. It's not about the dog, sir. It's about a letter. Purvis posted a letter a few minutes before he jumped. We retrieved it.
You've been following him, Hog Ben.
We didn't know he was one of our own.
It wasn't yours. It was mine. Still is.
That's what I meant.
Well, who did you think he was?
We thought he was one of theirs.
I see.
He was followed from Highgate Hill to a house in Church Street, Chelsea.
He lives there?
Yes, so I gather. He left the house again just before 3, leaving all the lights on. He knew he wouldn't have to pay any more bills. He walked to the river.
Posting a letter on the way. Whereabouts in Highgate did you follow him from? Highgate Hill Square?
Well, you obviously know all about it.
Everybody knows their safe house. Red Square, we call it.
We call it Dun Kremlin.
Why?
Sir?
Why did you follow him? Was he acting suspiciously?
Not exactly suspiciously. He walked out the front door, slamming it behind him.
Well, I give him a pretty free rein. When did you realise he was Q6?
It was the letter. Here you are, sir. You understand, sir, that we had to open all the letters in the box in order to ascertain...
Yes, of course, thank you. I'll read it later. Anything else?
Sir?
I said, anything else?
Well, the letter's a bit... Would you say that Mr. Purvis had been overworking lately?
Well, I haven't been overworking him. But, of course, I can't speak for them. Well, Purvis, this is all very silly. What on earth did you think you were doing, jumping off bridges?
Oh, hello, sir. How good of you to come.
Not at all. Are you quite comfortable?
Yes, thank you. I'm grateful for the private room.
I meant with your feet winched up like that. You put me in mind of a saucy postcard.
I put the nurses in mind of midwifery. But I appreciate you're not mincing words. You're the first person who has mentioned the word jump or bridge since I got here.
Oh?
I thought I must have imagined it all. By the way, was there something about a dog?
Yes. You're the first person to jump off a bridge onto a dog. The reverse one often used to see at the Saturday morning cinema, of course.
Men jumping off dogs onto...
No, dogs jumping off bridges onto...
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
What a relief, anyway. I was beginning to think I'd gone cuckoo.
Your relief may be premature. There's nothing cuckoo about imagining things. Cuckoo is jumping off bridges. Are you in any sort of trouble?
Well, one had a bit of a crease, you know.
Yeah. Do you remember writing me a letter?
Have you received it already?
Special deliverer.
I wasn't going to mention it.
I shouldn't have done so.
A bit of a shaker, I expect.
Well, these things happen in all families.
You mean that business about your wife? Hmm? I'm sorry. It's the last thing one would have expected of a woman who runs a donkey sanctuary. Concubine to an opium addict.
Now, look here, Purvis.
Yes, I'm so sorry. One loses all one's social graces when one expected to be dead.
I didn't mean my family. I meant Q6, people having what you call a bit of a crease. I suggest we draw the veil. Hmm? Least said, soonest mended.
Well, you must do as you think fit. Personally, I think you'd make an excellent number one. But I can quite see that you might take the view that it's nobody's business what the chief gets up to in his own time, so long as he doesn't bring his pipe to the office. Perhaps you think I'm a bit of a cad for sneaking.
These decisions are never easy. By the way, where did this story come from?
It's all over, Highgate.
I see.
I was up there last night, actually.
Really?
I went to visit my friend.
Oh, yeah?
He was none too pleased.
No?
I was after some information.
And did you get it?
No. I said to him, look, I said, can you just remind me, what is the essential thing we're supposed to be in it for? The ideological nub of the matter? Is it power to the workers? Is it the means of production, distribution, and exchange? Is it each according to his needs? Is it the expropriation of the expropriators? Do you know what he said? Historical inevitability. You're joking, I said. Pull the other one. It's got bells on. No, you'll have to do better than that. Something can't be good just because it's inevitable. It may be good and it may be inevitable, but that's no reason. It may be rotten and inevitable. He couldn't see it, so I left. None the wiser. Perhaps you could help me on this one, Blair.
Oh, I don't know. They did give us a rundown on it years ago. I didn't take much notice. There was something called the value of labour capital, which seemed to be important, but I never understood what it was.
No, I mean from your side of the fence.
Mine?
Yes, it's important to me. Can you remind me, what was the gist of it, the moral and intellectual foundation of Western society in a nutshell?
I'm sorry, my mind's gone blank.
Oh, come on. Democracy, free elections, free expression, free market forces.
Oh, yes, that was it.
Yes, but how did we deal with the argument that all this freedom merely benefits the people who already have the edge? I mean, freedom of expression advantages the articulate. Do you see?
You're going a bit fast for me, Purvis. I never really got beyond us being British and then being atheists and communists. There's no arguing that, is there? Are you quite sure you aren't in any sort of trouble?
Depends what you mean by trouble.
Your letter mentions some unsavory business with choir boys.
Savory business, not unsavory business.
Savory business?
Yes. You know what a savory is. Mushrooms on toast, sardines, or in this case, Welsh rabbit.
I see. Well, you just have a jolly good rest, Rupert. Take the weight off your feet.
As you see.
Yes, of course. But we'll soon have you back on them. You were lucky.
Luckier than the dog.
Yes, it was the dog that died. I admit it looks odd. The question is, does it look odd enough?
It looks odd enough to me, sir.
I'm not convinced, Mr. Slack. I do like the mullioned window between the Doric columns. That has a quality of coy desperation, like a spinster gate-crashing a costume ball in a flowered frock. And the pyramid on the portico is sheer dumb insolence. All well and good. I think it's the Gothic Tower that disappoints. It isn't quite there. It's Gothic, but not Gothic with a K. Should we ruin one of the buttresses?
Ruin it, sir?
Make it a bit of ruin. Hmm? Or should we wait for the ivy to catch up?
I should wait for the ivy, sir. We are going to have our hands full with the obelisk. Is it all right to lower away?
Yes, lower away.
Lower away!
The crane has to swing it over slightly to the right.
No, sir. It's centered on top of the tower.
But it's lopsided.
Only from where we're standing.
But surely, Mr. Slack, if it's centered on top of the tower, it should look centered from everywhere.
That would be all right with a round Norman tower, sir, but with your octagonal Gothic tower, the angles of the parapet throw the middle out.
Throw the middle out?
The obelisk will look centered from the terrace, sir.
But it has to look centered from my study window as well.
Can't be done now. You'd have had to have one side of the tower squared up with the window.
Hold everything.
Hold everything!
This obviously needs the superior intelligence of Mrs. B. I'll go and fetch her from the paddock.
She's in the drawing room, sir.
I thought she was operating on one of the donkeys.
That's right, sir.
Pamela!
Hang on, Mrs. Ruxley.
I say, do be careful of my clocks.
You've come just at the right moment. Mrs. Ryan, you're doing very well, but I can't do the stitches if there's so much movement.
Righto, dear.
Giles, you hang on to her legs.
I haven't really got time for all this.
Not Mrs. Ryan's legs, Giles. Empy's.
There, Empy. Soon be over.
Look, Pamela, the donkey sanctuary is supposed to be the paddock. The drawing room is supposed to be sanctuary from the donkeys.
This is the only fire lit today, and I needed it to sterilize the instrument. Hold her neck, Mrs. Ryan.
Righto, dear.
Poor MP. Got into a fight with Don Druin. It's only a couple of stitches. Here we go, everybody.
She nearly kicked over my American Townsend.
Well, hold her still. How long have I got before they all go off?
About a minute.
I don't see why they have to be going all the time.
If they weren't going, they wouldn't be clocks. They'd be bric-a-brac. The long delay in the invention of the clock was all to do with the hands going round. If the hands didn't have to go round, the Greeks could have had miniature Parthenons on their mantel shelves with clock faces stuck into the pediments, permanently showing 2:10 or 8:35.
Were you expecting a clock today, sir? A package came for you, special delivery. Sender's name Purvis.
Oh, yes. Do you remember Purvis, Pamela?
Don't talk to me while I'm stitching. Isn't Empy being brave?
Good girl.
I introduced you to him at the Chief's Christmas drinks. You said there was something funny about him. Pretty sharp. He tried to kill himself the other night. He killed a dog instead. He sent me a family heirloom. Suppose I'll have to send it back now.
That must be what the note from security was about. They opened your parcel in transit. They thought it was suspicious.
No, I know all about it. Purvis has sent me an old sea captain's wooden peg leg.
No, he hasn't. He sent you a stuffed parrot.
Well, that's what I meant. There's one just like it on the piano in Cork Castle. Oh, that reminds me. There's a serious problem with the obelisk on the tower. It's going to look lopsided depending on where one is standing, even though it's in the middle.
That's because of the corners. You should have had a round tower.
Why didn't you tell me?
I didn't think it mattered. The whole thing's fairly loopy anyway.
The old story. Never change anything that works. I had in mind the obelisk at Plumpton Magna, where they have a round tower, but I thought I would go octagonal. It's entirely my own fault.
You mean your own folly? Can you reach the forceps?
Where are they?
On the grate.
Right.
She kicked
me!
I know just how she felt.
Throw the forceps, were red hot!
it all right if I get on now, dear?
Oh. Yes, all right, Mrs. Ryan. Oh. Good job the French windows were open.
Can you lift your leg, dear?
No, I can't. The knee is swelling visibly.
Oh, don't worry, dear. I'll vacuum round you.
Good morning. I see the tulips are fighting fit.
There's no need for that, sir.
No, just a passing remark. I thought you were keen on the things. Anyway, what's up?
You remember that letter Purvis wrote?
Yes.
It's been on my mind.
You really do worry too much, Hogben.
Didn't it worry you, Mr. Purvis?
Well, some of it, of course, but every family has occasional problems.
You mean about Mrs. Blair?
No, I don't mean anything of the sort. I really don't understand how some people's minds work. I was talking about Q6, where a small department with, I like to think, a family feeling. And we have occasional problems, that's all.
I'm sorry. I didn't believe a word of it, of course. The whole letter was raving mad. I never read anything so obviously off its trolley. That's what worries me about it, as a matter of fact. I think the letter smells. I think he overdid it. I think he's shamming, Mr. Blair.
Shamming what?
I think Purvis wanted you to think he'd gone off his trolley.
But Hogben, he did jump off Chelsea Bridge.
At high tide, the absolute top, to the minute.
Exactly.
When there was the shortest possible distance to fall.
Well, everybody goes too fast for me nowadays.
Think about it, sir. There he is. In the Soviet safe house in Highgate. Well, what he's doing there, I leave an open question for the minute. He makes a conspicuous departure, practically begging to be followed. He walks all the way home just to make it easy. He comes out flashing a letter which he posts, and then off to the bridge and over he goes, just as a handy barge is there to pick him up.
But he landed on the barge.
It went slightly wrong. Especially for the dog.
You're not serious.
No, I'm not. It's just not on. Apart from anything else, the bargee and his family have been scudding about the river for 3 generations. Real Tories. Can't abide foreigners. Wouldn't even eat the food. So that one is a non-starter. I'm just showing that the facts would fit more than one set of possibilities. There's something wrong with that letter. I know there is. You wouldn't like to tell me what Purvis was doing up in Highgate?
He was discussing political philosophy.
I suppose you people know what you're doing?
Well, one tries.
Where is Purvis now?
Convalescing. We maintain a house on the Norfolk coast as a rest home for those of our people who need a rest. Sea breezes, simple exercise, plain food, TV lounge, own grounds, wash basins in every room. It's like an hotel. One of those appalling English hotels. So I'm told. I've never been there.
A rest home for people who crack up.
You could put it like that, or you could say it's a health farm.
A funny farm?
I think that's about as much as I can help you, Hogben.
How is Purvis now?
I'm going to see him in a day or two. I'll let you know how I find him.
If you find him. Is there a gate to this place?
No. As far as I know, Purvis could make a dash for it in his wheelchair any time he chooses.
Now, I'm sorry if I seem to be obstinate, but there is something funny about that letter, sir. I don't know what it is.
Well, I'm afraid I must be getting back.
Well, thank you for coming out to meet me. Oh, you seem to have been in the wars.
Got kicked on the knee by a donkey. Nothing serious. Goodbye. Oh, careful with my hand. Burn my fingers. Oh, how I love this view. What a skyline. All the way out Whitehall, to Parliament Square, Trafalgar Square, St. James's. It's like one enormous folly.
You must be Blair, I'm Dr. Seddon.
How do you do? Giles Blair.
Let's go to my office and have a cup of tea.
Thanks very much.
Now, this way. Yes, well, how are things in London?
Relatively safe.
Yes, I know what you mean. My time at the firm is excellent preparation for Clifftops.
Oh, where you were?
Q10.
Code breaking?
Code making. You may have heard of consonantal transposition. Scramble your own telephone. That was my contribution to the fun and games.
Really? No,
well,
I...
We go up these stairs now. Mm. Yes. They never took it up. They said it was too difficult or too simple. Well, no, they had it.
How did it work?
Rose trancing stantocons. Tit egg?
Sorry?
Transposing consonants. Get it?
Ingenious.
See, the trick was that there were no rules as such. You had to do it like improvising music. It just needed a little tack press. But cause fork the cuffing ditios, duke and tag the feng tip off.
What?
Mouille, so I mean? Tack press. Well, two yacht there.
Yacht?
Ah, you see. Pick it up in no time. Now, come up to the belfry. I've got something up there which will interest you.
What?
Bats.
Bats? In the belfry?
Hadn't been years without knowing it. Oh, I say, no, please, no, not that way.
Excuse me, I've got to find someone.
Blair?
Terribly sorry, I really have to go.
Blair!
No, I'm terribly sorry.
Oh, Blair!
Purvis, thank goodness.
I'm very glad to see you.
I'm not sorry to see you. I'm damned if I can flush out anyone in authority. Where's the chap who's supposed to be running this show?
You mean Dr. Seddon?
Yeah.
I'll see if I can raise him for you.
Oh, just as a courtesy. It was you I came to see, of course.
Really? That's awfully nice of you.
That was the first half of The Dog It Was That Died, written by Tom Stoppard. Certainly nobody has ever accused Tom Stoppard of making things easy for his audience. The whole plot of this peels off like layers of an onion. You'll have to listen to the whole thing to make sense. So tune in next week for the conclusion of that. In the cast, Giles Blair is played by Charles Gray, Rupert Purvis by Dinsdale Landon, Hog Ben by Kenneth Cranham, and Mrs. Blair by Penelope Keith. The coordinating producer of The Mystery Project is Barry Morgan. Wouldn't you know it, that'll just about do it for the roundup this week. We do have time, though, to thank everybody who helped put this fantastic program on the air for you. Andrea Hunter, Anna Bonikowski, Robin Levy, Paolo Pietropaolo, Marie-Hélène Robitaille, and Rosemary Allenbach. The executive producer of the roundup is Heather Kennedy. My name is Matt Galloway. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll see you on Monday, which time we'll turn out the lights and do the show in the dark. It's the night show on the roundup on Monday. See you then. Bye-bye.
You're listening to CBC Radio 1, 91.5 in Ottawa.